I'd like to say good evening to you all. We thank the Lord for allowing us to be here. And I suppose I should introduce myself. My name is Paul Phillips, and I'm from Wichita, Kansas. Some of you all I know, some of you I don't know, but I hope to get to know more of you before we leave to go back home. We desire your prayers tonight in a very special way. I've heard the older ministers say that this isn't a place where they get comfortable. And in a short time, I've come to learn that this is a place where you're not supposed to be comfortable. And so we desire your prayers that under those conditions, we'll be able to do what the Lord would have us to do.
Amen.
As we consider a few thoughts from His Word. We'd like to share with you, first of all, a verse of song that I'm sure you've heard some of the singers here sing from time to time. And the writer had this to say: time after time, I went searching for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. And all the while, someone was begging to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. Waiting patiently in line, he was there all the time. There are a lot of people in the world today who are searching for peace in a void. Searching for it in a place where it will not be found. It's just not there.
That's right.
There are people who, because they have not found that peace, have begun to blame everyone else for all their ills. The reason that I have these troubles is because of so-and-so.
Yes.
The reason I'm not able to do more in life is because of my environment and my background. The reason that I'm not able to make it is because someone used me in a surface relationship and was not truly sincere with me in their time of dealing with me as I came along their pathway. And yet, because of all of these things, I've been done in. It's someone else's fault. And yet, all the time, someone was begging to free them from all of those troubles, from all sin. Says that he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Sometimes waiting until that person, and maybe you or I have found it in our own lives, waiting until we've gone through all of these things. Waiting for that one chance to show what he could do in our lives if we will only allow him to.
Yes, that's right.
When we consider that, that brings me, if you will, to the title of this. As I considered it one day at work, walking across the field, at the end of every man's self, there is Jesus. Whether we are saved or unsaved, this is something that will always be true. I believe Sister Catherine would tell us from time to time that we'll always have self on hand. But it's at the end of self that we find Christ. It's at the end of self that we find that He is able to do those things that we need Him to do in our lives. And when we come to the end of that place, where we'll give it all up and turn it over to Him, we find that He's able to work and help us as we go along life's way. We'd like to turn, first of all, to Jonah, the first chapter. As we consider these thoughts, we'll be reading from places that you've heard time and time again. So we can't say this will be anything new, but we trust that these thoughts will somehow encourage each one to consider just where they are in life.
Yes, Lord.
And what they need to do.
Yes.
Starting at Jonah, the first chapter, we want to read verses 1 through 6. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken.
Yes.
Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Here we find a situation where Jonah reacted in much the way that people are reacting in the world today. He was given a charge and had a responsibility placed upon him by God. But yet we find that Jonah is running from that responsibility here as he goes along. He's been given his charge to go to Nineveh and to carry this message and cry unto them because their wickedness had come up before God. He was to give them a warning. But yet we find that Jonah rose to go a different way, trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. How many times in this world today have you or I seen others and maybe experienced ourselves where the Lord has come and begun to talk unto us? But instead of taking heed to God's word, we begin to turn and try to find some other way to go, looking for some other way around what we have to face in life as we come along the way. Here we find that Jonah no doubt could have had various reasons as to why he wasn't going to go. I believe the writers have pointed out that these people in Nineveh were people that the Jews had nothing to do with. So maybe Jonah began to think within himself that, no, this just couldn't be. And I don't want to go to that place. We don't have anything to do with those kind of people. What will everybody think if they see me going there to deliver this kind of message? But as we go along life's way, you and I can find ourselves in some places where we begin to feel that I can't do this because of what others might think of me. I can't follow God's ways because of what others will say as we travel along the path of life. Sometimes you and I can find ourselves in a place where we're trying to take care of the everyday responsibilities of life, but yet in doing so, maybe not wanting to fully follow through, we begin to lay our blames upon other people. Well, if this person on the job would treat me a little better, then I wouldn't mind being there. And if someone else would just give me a little more support, then I'd be able to carry out my responsibilities. But as we go along life's way, there's nothing that will relieve you and I from the responsibilities that we have as we face God along the way. We also have that responsibility to take care of the inner man. As we consider the soul that God has blessed us with and placed it within our own care, you and I have a responsibility. We have a duty to turn it over to the Lord and give it to Him that He might empower us, that we'll be able to live for Him as we go along life's way. But have you ever heard somebody say, I don't want to get too deep in the Lord. He might send me out to do this, or He might send me over there to do that. So I'll just kind of play along here and just kind of stay in this little place where I think I'm safe. But as we go along life's way, you and I have a responsibility to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we find ourselves in a place where we're being slack and not carrying out the responsibilities and the duties we have towards our own soul, you and I are in a place where we're doing just like Jonah. We're going in another path and we're fleeing, if you will, from the presence of the Lord, but we can't get away. You and I may think we can run, but we can't hide. We find here that Jonah thought he was going to get away. He began to look for a place to go. And you know, it seems like when you and I are going along life's way and we don't really want to face up to the things that we need to do, it seems like it's always ever so easy to find that place where we can justify ourselves and kind of skate on around and not do the things that we ought to do. Here we find Jonah had gone on, and instead of going towards Nineveh, he went on unto Tarshish and found a ship that was going to sail that way, just the thing that he needed, he thought, no doubt, to get himself on out from the presence of the Lord. But yet we see here that God was not through with him yet, for the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You and I may feel like that we can just kind of skate on by when the Lord begins to knock at our heart's door, dealing with us along some line. Maybe we feel like, well, I'll deal with that a little later, but I got to take care of this right here. And all we're really doing is looking for that ship to lead us on out to Tarshish, so to speak. But you and I can't get away. Even here, as we see, God sent out that great wind, and sometimes in His mercies, He'll send a great wind upon you and I to try to get our attention and cause us to see that we've got to do those things that He's laid upon us and that we'll be responsible for them as we go along the way. We see here that these people who had dealt with ships and had been out on the seas, the mariners, were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. These people were in a place where they were trying to survive, and no doubt the merchandise that they had carried upon their ship going towards Tarshish was no concern to them. At this point in time, they begin to cast off some things, trying to lighten the ship that had not been destroyed. Have you ever found yourself in that kind of a place where, because you aren't doing what God would have you to do, and you find yourself in the midst of toils and troubles, some people will begin to try to lighten the ship, so to speak, begin to not come around different ones and try to find a place where they think they can survive. But here we find that this was not sufficient. At this point in time, these men begin to call upon their gods, begin to call upon every god but the right God. And as you and I go through life, you see people that are calling upon these little gods as they go along life's way. Some are turning to different things. They'll go and they'll talk to the psychologist. They'll go and they'll talk to their friends. They'll go and they'll turn to the bottles. And yet sometimes always being checked upon and wooed by the Spirit of the Lord, but yet not being willing to turn unto Him and allow Him to help them as they go along the way. We find here that the shipmaster began to become aware of something. Here was Jonah down in the ship. This ship is being tossed by the storms, and there he is, fast asleep. So the shipmaster comes, "Awakest thou? What meanest thou, sleeper? Arise and call upon your God." As we go along life's way, it seems like people just continue on being asleep in the hollering of the storms. As you go along the way, it seems like there are things that are sent to them to confront them in this life, to try to jar them and wake them up to the presence and the responsibilities that they have to face. But yet, as you go along, you can still yet call unto them, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Why will you continue on and sleep in this kind of way? Why will you walk on and ignore what God has for you to do? Why will you go on and not listen to His wooing Spirit?" But as you see here, Jonah was caught up in a place where he finally had to admit just who he was and why they were in the situation that they were in. And so the people came to a place where they had to throw him overboard. As we go along life's way, he was now beginning to take some steps that would help him come to the end of his very own self. But how many times in this world today do you find that people are willing to truly admit just why they're in the place that they're in, and begin to take those steps to come to the end of themselves, that the Lord might help them as they go along the way? Truly, as we look upon it, you can reason with people sometimes. You can talk and lay forth all kind of evidence. But if they're not really wanting to see themselves and really admit just as to why they're in the place that they're in, still yet wanting to blame their ills on those that are in this world, they won't be able to get any help, and you won't be able to help them. Surely, as we considered along the way, it means much for each man to come to the end of himself, because that's the place where he'll find Christ. Let us go on a little further here in the second chapter and begin to see some of the actions that Jonah took. Starting at the first verse, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Now let us drop down to the 7th verse. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now we find that Jonah, having been swallowed up and taken down into the deep, began to turn unto the Lord his God and cried out by reason of his own affliction. He began to realize not only was he in trouble, but he was in deep, serious trouble. And as he began to call upon the Lord heard him. As we go along life's way, I began to think more and more about how God is such a nature that when you and I begin to come to our senses, when we begin to come to the end of ourselves, we can cry out unto him, and he will hear our prayer if we're truly sincere. Here he sees that he has done something here that he's going to still yet have to do, and he states there down in the verse that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. The things that you have laid upon me, Lord, to do, I'll do that. He began to realize that as he had turned to these other things, that he had actually forsaken the very mercies that God had laid forth for him to enable him to carry out the very charge that he had laid for him to do. And so it is with you and I, that if we go along life's way, and we're going to persist in our own ways and not follow the ways of the Lord, we actually forsake the mercies that God has laid forth for you and I that will enable us to walk this straight and narrow pathway. We've actually forsaken the things that will give you and I the strength to carry on in this day and time and walk as the Lord would have us to do. He says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll do those things and praise your name for it by the help of the Lord. And as we see there, when he came to that place, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Surely when he came to the end of himself, at that point in time, he came to a place where God was able to help him out. And it's the same with you and I today, that when we come to the end of ourselves, we'll find Jesus there to help us as we go along life's way. I thought about how sometimes you can just watch people and you begin to see them just led all everywhere. It's everybody's fault but mine. It's never something that I've done. It's always someone else. If it's not their wife, then it's some other friend or some other person or whatever the case may be. And I realize that the saints have a responsibility to help one another as they go a long life's way. But the ultimate responsibility lies upon you and I. For we find that if you and I, by the help of the Lord, are determined to walk his narrow pathway and do the things that he would have us to do, there's no one here that can hinder us from doing those things and accomplishing what God has set forth. And as we go along life's way, we must consider from time to time just what he would have us to do and then follow that pathway. There's no use in looking for that ship that's going out to Tarshish. There's no use in looking for a way around God's presence, because he'll be there all the time. Over in Acts, the 9th chapter, starting at the first verse, we'd like to consider another character in the Bible here and some of the things that he faced at that point in time. Acts 9:1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. Now here we have a time frame where the Lord began to deal personally with Saul. But as we consider this, even though he was sincere in what he was doing and felt like he was doing the right thing, he set out to go to Damascus, and the Lord met him on the way. But we find that in the earlier scriptures that the Lord had already been dealing with his heart. For as they stoned Stephen, he was standing there holding the garments of some of those who were throwing the stones. And as we consider that, I thought about the question when he told him that I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I began to think that no doubt these things had weighed upon Saul. Here was a man who had great intelligence, was able to reason out things in a deep fashion. And as the Lord began to deal with him through the example, as he saw Stephen being stoned, and yes, Stephen saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was able to see that this person had something within him that kept him in a way that other men had not been kept. And I'm sure that that life and the reasoning that Stephen had laid before the council at that point in time had begun to work on Saul's heart as he began to reason of these things. But yet we find here that he's kicking against the pricks, and it's a hard thing for him to do. And as you and I go through life, we find those places where the Lord begins to check us and deal with us, but yet we'll try to reason on around it and keep right on going and find that it's hard to kick against those things that God would have for us to do. We begin to try to look for a way to justify the path that we've taken, but yet we know through the scriptures there that he lets us tells us there that there's a great cloud of witnesses as we walk along this pathway. There are those who have gone this same road and have made it safely in, didn't have to take the shortcuts that you or I might think we ought to be able to take, didn't have to do some of the things that you and I maybe think we just ought to do or maybe not do. But as they've come down through life, they've left that clear, straight example that shows us if we walk in that way, it'll lead us safely through. And here we find that Saul was being dealt with, and these things were pricking him. He just couldn't put them off. They were somehow still yet annoying him in the thoughts of his mind, begin to help him to see that there's something different here in this life. And even though I'm trying to do all that I can to snuff out this kind of a way, yet still these people seem to still yet be loyal to this Jesus. They still yet seem to be loyal to their ways. They bear no malice against those that persecute them. And as he looked on those things, no doubt it weighed heavily upon him. And here we find that the Lord has come and begin to deal with him. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Surely as we go along life's way, you and I can find ourselves kicking against the pricks, but you find that they still yet come back and they prick us again, cause us to think about it. Well, I thought I had that all figured out, thought I had that all mapped out, and now it still yet seems to be bothering me. Something still yet seems to be checking me. It's for you and I to then begin to consider that it's time to stop kicking against the pricks and start to go along the way that God would have us to go. We find here that as he dealt with him, who art thou, Lord? When the Lord began to identify himself as to who Saul was dealing with, we find there that Saul began to change, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He began to come to the end of himself, those places where he had gotten the letters and was going forth binding these people and having them cast into the prisons and persecuted instead of following that pathway. Now he's dropped all of that. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord began to give me some instruction. You go on right where you intended to go, and there'll be someone there to tell you just what you need to do. Surely as we go along life's way, you and I, if we're not careful, we can get ourselves in a place where we're just not going to listen to anybody else. But as we go along the way, we'll find ourselves having to listen to people more and more. Thought about a person once told me once upon a time that They wanted to start their own business because they didn't want anybody telling them what to do. And as they considered that, I told them, I said, well, you're still not going to get around that because there's certain rules and regulations you're going to have to follow that the government has set forth. So if nobody else can come tell you what to do, the government will. Well, as we go along life's way, there'll be someone to tell us just what we need to do. And sometimes it'll come from the very person that we don't want to hear it from. But as we consider that, I thought about a situation once when we were at home and the youngest brother was telling the middle girl what she ought to be doing. And she said, well, what do you know? You can't tell me anything. Well, it just so happened that she didn't realize it, but our father heard what was going on. And when she spoke that, then he stepped out. You know what he told you is the right thing to do. You don't have nothing else to say but to go do it. That's just the way it is with you and I. When it comes to the things of the Lord, we can sometimes say, well, what do you know? You can't tell me what to do. But if it's right, there's nothing else for us to say but to go and do it. To come to the end of ourselves instead of trying to feel like, well, I'm somebody and you can't tell me as we go along life's way. Here we find that he had to go, and the very people that he was going to persecute, one of them had to come and say, Brother Saul, and then begin to deal with him. But we also see something here in this ninth verse. And he arose, or the eighth verse, and he arose from the earth. And when his eyes were open, he saw no man. So they led him forth to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And as we consider that, it's been pointed out that during that time, he was considering just what God would have him to do. He was getting ready to receive the instructions of whoever it was that was going to come his way and help him out at that point in time. And it shows us there that as we travel a long life's way, that it's upon us to take the responsibility and accept it in preparing ourselves to receive whatever instruction the Lord sends our way and then endeavor to carry it out as we go along life's way. We'd like to turn now to Psalms chapter 107. We want to read verses 10 through 15 and then drop down to the 23rd verse and read 23 through 31. Starting at the 10th verse in this 107th chapter, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Here in this chapter, we find that God was talking about the children of Israel, and he had styled them in various ways. And in this particular portion of the scripture, he had styled them as rebellious children. And here it says, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. This was a description of when they were taken captive into another land, and being captive there, they were caused to labor for those who had captured them. And you find that this was something that was repeated throughout their history time and time again. When they came to a place where they rebelled against God's word, when they came to a place where they contemned his counsel, or in other words, they scorned it and felt that they didn't need the use of it anymore, you find that they came down to a place where God allowed them to be overtaken by the enemies, and as a result, they were sitting in darkness. In other words, they were in a place being prisoners by someone else, not knowing whether their lives would be spared as they've gone on. And as a result, they were made to labor and bound in their afflictions because of this. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. There was no one that could rescue them in that kind of condition. And the enemy had full sway over them at that point in time. But then we find here that as they came to this place, that they began to cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. When they came to a place at those times, They would begin to long for home, and they realized that they couldn't sing their songs in that strange and foreign land. And as they began to seek the Lord to cause them to be brought back to their very own homestead where they could sing and worship Him as He would have it to be, then the Lord would begin to work in their behalf and would deliver them out of their troubles, would deliver them out of the bands of death. And as a result of this, the writer says all that men would pray the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. When these people begin to realize that they did need God and that they needed to have respect unto His Word, when they begin to realize that there was a void there that nothing else could fill, and they begin to turn unto the Lord to fill that void, then He began to work in their behalf and cause them to be delivered. And as you and I go a long life's way, we can begin to rebel against God's Word. There's a lot of things going forth in this day and time where people are saying they don't need God, and they're able to figure out their own problems and able to go along in their own way. But the truth of the matter is that it is not in man's ways to direct his own steps as he goes along life's way. Man has met with problem upon problem and come to realize that he cannot solve those problems, but yet continuing on to look to something else instead of turning to God, and the result has been the same, just as it was for these people here. They were taken into captivity. Maybe as you look on the world today, you can look upon the United States and you can say, well, we're not in captivity yet. But as you consider some of the problems that have gotten a hold of this country, you can see that, yes, it is in captivity. There are some things that they're dealing with and they don't really know the answers. And yet they're looking to all of the psychologists and everyone else that has some thoughts about how it ought to be dealt with, and still yet not wanting to turn to God and His Word. I've heard people sometimes talking about their problems, and you begin to listen to what they're talking about, and you come to realize real quick like that if they'd only turn to the Bible, the very answer to their problem is right in there if they'd only accept it. But you find that people aren't really willing to listen to that. They want something else that'll satisfy them, they think, as they go along the way. And the end result is just what we have today. People talking about lost generations. People talking about problems that they can't solve, and yet they don't admit that, well, when it comes to this drug thing, well, let's just legalize it. We'll just take care of it that way. That's not solving the problem. Amen. That's only aggravating it and making it a lot worse. As we go along life's way, we can scorn God's Word. We can rebel against it. We can do all we want, but it'll still be there for us as we go along the pathway if we'll only turn to the Lord and come to the end of ourselves. Going down now to the 23rd verse. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now He begins to style them as a drunken man, reeling to and fro. And you think about those ships when they're out in the storms of the sea. And I've listened to different ones talk. And my dad was in the Second World War, and he talked about going across the sea in the ship and encountering the storms. And the waves would go way up above the ship, and it looked like they were going to come down and just swallow it up and take it on down. But then as the waves crashed on the ship, it would lift it on up to the top of the waves. And he pointed out how at that time when the storms hit, that there were people doing all manner of things, playing cards and gambling and so forth. But when it hit, it got their attention. And he said, everybody begin to cry and pray. As you and I go a long life's way, we will meet some storms in life. And if we go on in our own way, we'll be as that ship, staggering to and fro as a drunken man, being tossed about by the waves that we meet, not seemingly having any control in our lives. And as we consider that, we'll be in a place where we're at
our wits' end. We really won't just know what to do. We'll find out just how limited man's intellect is when he gets in the midst of these trying storms of life. And as they do so, they are tossed to and fro. You see the drunken men staggering as they walk down the street. They don't really have a sense of just where they're going, not able to put their legs or their feet one in front of the other to cause them to walk a straight and narrow, a straight and steady pathway. But you see them swaying to and fro and sometimes falling down and not hardly able to get up. Here the Lord was talking about Israel and describing them in just the same way. And you and I will present the same picture to others that are looking on if we perceive that we're going to go on in our own self and not accept God's ways and His counsels as we travel along life's pathway. But here we find that they begin to wake up once again. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He bringeth them into their desired haven. The place that they wanted to go was back to their homeland. And when they began to cry out to Him, He began to cause things to be quelled in such a way that they could go back home. So it is for you and I today to come to the end of ourselves and rely upon God and His Word. And then we'll find those places of storms that occur in our lives. He's able to calm them in such a way to take us on to our desired haven. As we consider that, He said once again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. As we consider that today, what do we have to say about ourselves? Have we come to a place where we've come to the end of ourselves, where we're willing to take God's way? The writer said, God's way is best. I will not murmur. Although the end, I may not understand. Surely, as we go along life's way, there are some things that we won't understand about God and His dealings. But if we'll stay there, as the writer said, ye shall know if ye follow on to know. Truly, the Lord can help us. I thought about one other example that kind of brings this out. I happened to work for the power company there at home, and I was talking with one of the linemen, and he was talking about an apprentice that he had working under him. And he pointed out that he was trying to instruct this young apprentice on how to handle the cables and get them strung up on the poles and do so without wearing himself out and hurting his back and so on. Well, this young man didn't really want to listen. And so he finally saw that, the journeyman lineman saw that, and he just got quiet. So he said, well, he decided that he just let him struggle with them and pull on them and tug on them till he began to come to his senses. Young man went on through the day, still pulling and tugging, trying to do it his way. And although those cables, when they're strung up, kind of look small to you and I, that cable is really very heavy. Well, this young man finally wore himself out. And then the lineman looked at him and he said, now, can we talk? Then he was ready to listen to him. So it can be with you and I. We can decide that I'm just going to go on my own way. I'm going to handle this thing the way I see fit to handle it. And we'll be pulling and tugging on the things that we meet in our own lives spiritually, wearing ourselves out. Yes. And the Lord will be there. At the end of ourselves, the Lord will say, can we talk? Can I talk with you, my child? Can I point out some things to you to help you out to where you won't have to struggle in this way? Can I point out some things to you that will help you to grow and be strong? Can I point out some things that will help you to endure until the end? Or will you go on in your own way and wear yourself out? You know, there's really no doubt about it. The easiest way for us is to just surrender to God and allow Him to help us as we go along the way. We find that when Jonah came to himself, God helped him. And we see that he made it to Nineveh and began to give warning. We find that when Paul submitted himself, the Lord helped him. And we see that he used him in such a way that he wrote pretty much about half of the New Testament, all the different letters and the books in there that he was able to bring forth for us, and they help us today. We find that when Israel turned to themselves or turned through themselves to the Lord, He was always there to deliver them and bring them back to their homeland. So it will be with you and I that if we'll just come to the end of ourselves, we'll always find the Lord there, willing and ready to help us as we go along life's way.
We'd like to turn finally to Matthew, the 11th chapter. I want to read verses 28 through 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I believe somewhere else he said, "Come and let us reason together."
Yes.
And as we consider those things, we come unto the Lord. Here he said, "Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He'll give us a peace within, a calmness. They sing that song, "A Pilgrim's Confidence." We can have that kind of confidence if we'll come to the end of ourselves. But you find that when we go along life's way and we're just determined that we're going to do it our way, we don't have that rest. We're still tossing and turning in the middle of the night, trying to sleep and can't sleep, trying to concentrate on our job at work and we can't concentrate, trying to be maybe a good husband and a good father, or a good mother, a good wife, and yet because we're tossing and turning within, maybe we find ourselves sniffing at someone when we shouldn't.
Yes.
May the Lord help us as we go along life's way. "Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The writer ended that song by saying, "Never again will I look for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to rhyme. Sharing each new day with him is a cup of fresh life. Oh, what I missed. He's been waiting right there all the time. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to rhyme." In other words, when you look through a poem and you find the rhyme at the end of the verses, you find that it has a certain flow. And as we go through life, when we find the answer, which is Christ, and we've come to the end of ourselves where we're willing to accept His ways, we find things begin to flow together in our lives. Things begin to come together in such a way that the Lord's blessings fall upon us. And those places where we've had to struggle and wasn't able to make any progress, now we're able to go through in progress by the help of the Lord. Those places where we've been in distress, we find that we have that sweet rest. But we will only get it when we come to the end of ourselves. At the end of every man's self, there is Jesus. That's where we'll find him. If we perceive that we're going to just go on in ourselves and do it our way, we won't find Christ. We'll be just as that man was. He was there, but he was quiet. He just watched the young man struggle. The Lord is still here, but he'll watch us struggle as we go along life's way. But then when we come to the end of ourselves, when we realize we can't make it the way we've been going, and that God does have a way that not only is the best way, but it makes sense, accept it, then the Lord will begin to talk with us and help us as we go along the way. But you and I will have to decide, when will we come to the end of ourselves. If we seek the Lord and submit to Him, we'll find Him right there at that place. Pray for me that I'll prove faithful to the Lord.